You know, a lot of times when we are singing together in church, we think, okay, we do our worship, we do our music, and then we get around to our preaching. But, you know, this Sunday, if you came here needing a gospel message, you've already heard it. You've heard someone say, I would rather have Jesus than be held in sin's dread sway. You have heard someone say, it's all about the power of the cross. If you needed a gospel message today, you've already heard it. You've heard that Jesus is God's greatest expression of love and His only answer for human sin. Which is not to say that I'm telling you now you can go to sleep while I preach the message. But it is saying this. It's saying if you needed the gospel today, you've gotten it. And all you have to do is respond to it. So if you're here today and you're not a believer, that's what you need to know. You need to know you'd rather have Jesus than anything else in the world. And you'd rather have your life transformed by the power of the cross. And now we're going to move back to the blessing. You know, over these past couple of months now, we've been really looking at the biblical example of a blessing. We walked together through the prayer of Jabez and his prayer for blessing. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about how you can bring the blessing home, how you can take the blessing and apply it to the lives of the people you love the most. And across the course of that time, we've looked together at how you bless someone with personal, loving, an appropriate touch. And we've learned that you bless someone by the power of the words you speak. And now I want to move on, and we're going to talk about a third element. But I thought I would start by talking about one of the biblical blessings that you can read if you look in your Bibles. You see, in Genesis 27, Isaac blesses his son Jacob, and this is what he says. He says, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." I was looking at that blessing and I thought to myself, what kind of blessing is that at the beginning? If you have someone you love, your wonderful son or your beautiful daughter, and they come walking up to you and you want to bless them, and so what do you say to them? You smell like dirt. Because that's exactly what he said. He said, son, you smell like dirt. Now let me tell you something. There were a lot of times in my growing up years when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, that was a perfectly appropriate thing to say to me. I don't know about the rest of you all, but I would be out with my friends and we would be all over the place and in the woods and on our bikes, and we would come home and my mother would say this, "You will stand there and let me wash you off with a hose before I let you in my house." You know? There are those times when you smell like dirt. It's a pretty accurate way to talk to someone. But what about that beautiful little daughter that's just, you know, sweetness and light and beauty, and you say to her, "Oh, thank you. Whenever you come in the room, I think about a field. I think about dirt." But you know what? If you spent your life living in the culture in which Isaac and Jacob lived, if you recognize that there was no greater blessing than an abundant field growing and rich with grain, if you recognize you depended upon one brief rainy season to save you from disaster, and to recognize that the thing you feared more than anything in the world was famine and no grain to feed your family, and if you prayed more than anything, "God, give us something rich. Give us an abundant harvest for the year to come." Then when you say to your son, You smell like a fertile field. That's a whole different thing, isn't it? Reminds me of what Jamie's friend Mark said one time when I carried him home from baseball practice. They loaded in the car, and to get to Mark's house, you had to drive about, I would say, 300 or 400 yards up to their house, because you see, they lived on a farm. They didn't live on just any farm. They lived on a chicken farm. And that particular day, the evidence of chicken was all around you. The aroma of manure was in the air. And I remember driving up that driveway, and Mark and Jamie were probably 8 or 9 years old, and Mark rolled down his window and he said, "Smells like money." That's exactly what was going on when Isaac was blessing Jacob. He was saying, when I smell your aroma, it reminds me of a fertile field. And that God is blessing us. That biblical example is one that we can all follow. All of us can find concrete ways to express how important the people in our lives are. Now, it may have nothing to do with dirt, and it may have nothing to do with agriculture, and I hope to goodness it has nothing to do with chickens. But there are things that are important in your family, values you share, memories that you have a part of, things that are really important to you. And when you bring those things up, you're passing on a blessing. You're speaking to individual people in specific terms about how valuable they are to you and to the Lord. You are taking advantage of the opportunity to say, to those who are a part of your family, to those friends who are important in your life, to the people around you, here is why I think you have great value. Here is the potential I see in you. Here's how I am being blessed by who you are. This is a way I want you to know how important you are to me and how important you are to God. In fact, when those expressions are held back, it can result in a lifelong search for somebody to give your life value and meaning. Some folks who grew up and they never remember a kind word, and they never remember anything that says, "I'm paying attention to you," or "I'm proud of you," they spend a lifetime trying to find somebody that will give their life affirmation. And if nobody ever tells you that God loves you, you can feel completely lost. Not lost in a spiritual sense, but lost in a personal sense. I don't know where I belong in this world. No wonder the blessing of knowing our lives truly matter, and that we're deeply loved by God and by others, is so important. So we've learned about loving touch, and we've learned about spoken words. And this morning, I want to talk about the third element of a biblical blessing, and that is expressing high value. Loving touch, spoken words, expressing high value. You see, the Lord commands us to encourage and offer strong encouragement to the people we want to bless. We need to open the door and discover the redeeming love of God. So I want us to learn about how you bring the blessing of high value home by looking together at what it means to offer that gift of high value. It's vital to offer that gift of high value. I can think of 3 reasons why this element of the blessing is so crucial, particularly during these days in which we live today. The first reason it's so crucial is this. We live in the midst of an epidemic of loneliness. I read an article about 2 weeks ago, and it said this: the enduring impact of going through the COVID pandemic is not going to be the fact that we were inconvenienced. It's not even going to be that there was a disease that was spreading across the nation. It's not going to be that there were times when we suffered shortages of things that we thought we had to have and could not find. This is what the article said. It said the lasting impact of the COVID pandemic is going to be the deep loneliness that was revealed in so many people's lives. When all of a sudden life ground to a halt and you could not go anywhere and you could not distract yourself with entertainment, and sometimes it was just you and the people at your house, there was a deep sense of loneliness. It's astounding to face that fact, even though we live in the most technologically advanced time in the ages of man. Even though you can go home and sit before your laptop and you can be in touch with people literally on the other side of the planet. And if you want, you can reach out and touch thousands, maybe even millions of people. And yet, some of those folks who can reach out and touch people on the other side of the world have no clue who lives right next door. Do not recognize that there's anybody that cares for them. A sense of isolation is one of the major sources of stress in American lives. People are lonely. They're not sure their life matters anymore. Sometimes they're tempted to give up. That's why when you can offer the blessing of a gift of high value, it is like fresh water in an oasis in the middle of the desert. It's so hard to find, and somebody has to reach out and let people know you really matter. One of the greatest gifts we can give to the people we love is let them know that we count them as highly valuable. A second reason it's so important is this. We need to build people up. We need to build the people we love up because there are already too many people seeking to tear them down. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but sometimes we can live in a very negative world. We can live in a world that will tell you why you don't measure up. Why you don't measure up physically, why you don't measure up spiritually, why you don't measure up intellectually, why you don't measure up socially. You don't measure up. In fact, those same technological tools that make it so simple to communicate also have the potential to be weapons of pure evil. And we have seen it happen time after time after time, how people have used the tools of social media to rip one another to pieces. Seems like sometimes these days, as Brian and I were talking about before church, we don't live in a world where we say to one another, I disagree with you. We live in a world sometimes when it seems as though people are saying, I don't agree with you. You are wrong. You must be destroyed. It can be a very negative, dangerous world. Especially when you can hide behind anonymity to create rumors or destroy someone else's character. Let's face it, it seems as though fault finding has become a national pastime for a lot of people. Dr. Hutchins was telling me the other day about what one of the Facebook whistleblowers revealed about their company, and it was this: they made the discovery. It is easier to grow your company if you appeal to people's anger than any other emotion. In the midst of that kind of world, we need to recognize that the people around us, the people in our home, need to be encouraged, need to be built up, need to be motivated, need to be appreciated, because there are going to be so many other people who are willing to tear you down. That's why there's no better way to earn someone's attention than to be a strong source of encouragement. You know, the truth is, for a lot of folks, if you say, can you name the people who discourage you and tear you down, you can name those. But if you're asked the question, can you name those people who are sources of strong encouragement in your life? Most people will name two, maybe three people, and they will say, these are the people I rely upon to build me up. I read somewhere that it takes the power of 7 positive statements to overcome the effect of 1 negative remark. And if that's true, then there's no greater person in your life than those encouragers. When it comes to your family, I can't think of a more important role than being chief encourager. To let those people that you love know, I believe in you, I care about you, I'm here for you, I support you. You can depend on me. It's an incredible gift to accept the challenge of pouring your life into the people around you. So how can you become that kind of person? That's what I want us to discover together out of Proverbs chapter 3. You see, Proverbs 3 gives us some guidance on how to become that rich, encouraging, enriching, empowering person in the lives of your family and the people you love. So let's jump in and let's learn what it has to say. The first thing is this: high value comes from making the message personal. Listen to how Proverbs 3 begins. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Now that's a great promise, but notice something very special about this passage. It is deeply personal. My son, my laws, my commands, your hearts, blessing added to you. No doubt about it. This is Solomon talking to his son, someone he cares deeply about, someone he wants to empower and enrich. And he is saying, when I talk to you, I'm talking to you. Now it became part of our Bible, but not at the very beginning, not in Solomon's mind, not at the very start of this when he wrote these words. He was writing these words as very personal words. He didn't say to himself, someday this will be in Scripture. Someday people will benefit from this because God inspired those who put the Bible together to make this a part of the Holy Bible. What he was trying to say is, I want my son to know how important this is to me. I want my son to know how valuable he is in my life. To give someone high value is to speak to them in a deliberately personal way. I will talk to you. You know, once we get beyond today, then we begin to move into a very special season. Not Thanksgiving. I mean, Thanksgiving seems to have been tossed to the side. We begin to start thinking about buying Christmas presents. You know, don't you do that? And you know, I've carried on a tradition in my family with Christmas presents that comes from my father. You see, my father had a very special way of buying Christmas presents for his sons and his daughter and the in-laws, and it was this: everybody gets the same thing. If you were a guy and that year he decided to give jeans, everybody got jeans. If you were girls and that year he decided to give purses, everybody got purses. Not just purses and not just jeans, but the same one. In fact, the honest truth is, if someone got to Dad early and said something like this, I'd like to have jeans for Christmas. I wear a size 34, 32. Guess what everybody got? That's exactly right. And since Dad has been gone, I've carried on that tradition in my own family. I give them what I call it a granddaddy gift, and everybody gets the same thing because I just want to carry that tradition on. But here's the thing. You don't want to do that all the time with everybody because people need to know this is very personal. What you are saying to me is not what you're saying to everybody. It's what you're saying to me, intentionally to me, deliberately to me. Many years ago, a theologian named Martin Buber observed that we relate to other people in one of two ways. He says, sometimes we relate to people in what he calls an I-it manner. An I-it. That is, it is completely impersonal. For instance, you go through a drive-in at a fast food place. You pick up your food and you drive away. And if somebody said, can you describe the person who just handed your food to you? Do you know whether they were male or female? Do you know what color their hair was? Did you exchange a personal remark? Why? It. You do know that's part of the genius behind Chick-fil-A, is they're the ones who decided, you know, we're going to have our people make driving through a drive-thru and buying food a personal experience. We're going to say something to them that lets them know, we know who you are and we appreciate you. We have a lot of I-it kind of relationships. I very much doubt if you've ever checked out at a grocery store and said to the checkout clerk, how are things going in your life? Is everything okay? Are you fine? Sometimes we have an I-it relationship. But then Buber said the most important relationships are the ones he described as I-thou. That is, you and me in a very personal relationship. If you're in an I-thou relationship with someone, that means you're looking them in the eye. You're relating face to face. You're speaking specifically to what's going on in their lives. Essentially, when you're in an I-thou relationship with someone, including the Lord, you are saying, I want to know what you think. I want to be in a relationship with you. I want to talk to you and I want to listen to you and then I want to respond. That's why I really do believe one of the most holy places in this church building is that big lobby out there. I don't know who made the decision. Let's make sure that as you leave church, you're in a big place where people can stop and talk and visit. But we do, and that makes it a holy place, doesn't it? A place where we stop and visit with one another. I remember last Christmas Eve, Joe, when we had our Christmas Eve communion, you remember because we were trying to be very careful with the COVID situation, we had two services. You remember that? We had a 4 o'clock service and a 5 o'clock service. And we planned the 4 o'clock service to be over in 40 minutes so that folks could be gone in order for the 5 o'clock people to come. And you know what we found out? We found out on Christmas Eve, and you're telling people, go home. It just doesn't work. Especially when, you know, that particular service, when so many of us have extended family members, folks that we haven't seen for a long time, the children have come from somewhere else, or you've seen people who have come back that you haven't seen in a while. People want to stop, and people want to visit. And that's so important. And that's what makes First Baptist Birmingham such a special place. The fact that we stand and visit. I really do think sometimes if I stood up here and looked out there and I said to you all, fire, the church is on fire. People would rush for the exits and then they would stop. And say, before we go, I just want to tell you something. Because we build each other up. You can only bless someone when you're in a loving, personal relationship. Second thing that Proverbs tells us is this, and high value comes from speaking spiritual truth. Solomon continued, he said, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Now that verse sounds confusing, until you understand the challenge that Solomon was offering to his sons. In biblical times, priests and sometimes others would often write the law of Moses on a tablet. They might wear it around their necks. They might wear it on a plate to cover their chest. It was a way of saying, I want to keep God's word close to my heart. Today, that's exactly what Solomon would say. He would say, and my son, I want to tell you something. You know the word of God, and you keep it close to your heart. I want to build you up, and I want you to know that the best way I know to build you up is through the power of the word of God. most important thing was that one of the ways Solomon gave his son high value was to speak God's word into his life. He wanted him to know how much he loved him, but even more, he wanted him to know how much the Lord cared. He wanted to walk boldly with God and encourage his son to stay close to the Lord. Basically, what he was saying was, listen, one of the things I want you to do is to watch my life. And as you watch me walk with God, I want you to learn how to walk with God. He encouraged him, stay close to the Lord. And then Solomon revealed the benefit of relying on the Lord and his word. He said, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. If you'll do this, I promise you, it will pay off. My son, whom I love, if I can't point you to anything, let me point you to Jesus. Now, Solomon wouldn't have said Jesus, but he would have said, let me point you to the Lord. And then Solomon tells us this. High value comes from bold commitment. Solomon wanted his son to experience a depth in his relationship with God, one that would give him the guidance that he would need throughout his life. He didn't want him to have a passing, superficial relationship with God. He wanted him to have a real walk with the Lord. Solomon understood, I won't always be able to protect you. I won't always be there when you make critical choices. I can't stand and hold your hand throughout your lifetime to make sure you do the right and godly thing. Solomon knew he couldn't be there, but he knew who could. So he gave the greatest gift of high value he could ever offer. It's a passage that's been a foundation for me in my own life, and probably for a lot of you as well. It's one of those passages that many of us have memorized and depend upon. So why don't you say it aloud with me again? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That's how I sum it all up. The greatest gift of high value is to share the message of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. What does it say? It says, God loves you. You can trust Him more than anybody in your life. He has a plan for your life. He wants you to walk with Him every day. He invites you into a living relationship with Him. This is what I really like about that passage. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then it says, and don't lean on your own understanding. Don't think there comes that point where you've outgrown the Lord, where you can handle it all by yourself. Instead, recognize every day, in all my ways, I acknowledge Him. I trust Him. And I follow Him. If you're going to bring that gift of high value to your house, that gift of high value begins by saying, I love you, and I believe the best for you. But as much as I love you, God loves you so much more. You can trust Him, and you can depend upon Him. It's been a good day. We've learned a lot about building one another up, and we also heard the gospel. Now the real question is, what do you do about it? If you're here today and you don't know the Savior, If you don't know what it means to depend upon the power of the cross, in just a moment as we sing our invitation hymn, we're going to stand and you can come here to the front and I'll be here and Dr. Hutchins will be here and we'll teach you how you can trust the Savior in your own life, how you can become a believer and have everlasting life. If you're here today and you're recognizing if I'm going to bring the gift of high value to my house, then I need to be a part of a church fellowship where we can plant our family and where we can grow our lives. And maybe today you need to come and say, we want to be a part of what God is doing at First Baptist. Maybe God's dealing with you in a whole different way. And it's something you need to just come and share. This is what God is saying to me. This is how God is calling me. This is what God is doing in my life. If the Lord is dealing with you, then this is the day when you need to come. Let's stand together. Let's sing. And as God moves, you come.